Good afternoon, 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
With 120 counties, and we have a population less than basically the city of Houston, I mean, the economy is a scale that could be benefited from.
Are tremendous, according to Owensboro Mayor Tom Watson. He wants the Kentucky legislature to make it easier for counties to merge.
A Lawrence County boy is seriously hurt in an ATV accident.
And a Lexington reporter says Eric Kahn could be in more than 50 countries.
In sports, UK's John Calipari denies he's leaving the Bluegrass State.
But Luke has the stocks.
Partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms tonight. The complete forecast after this news.
A Lawrence County, Kentucky boy is being treated at a trauma center in Huntington after being thrown from an ATV last night in Blaine. According to WOWK, the accident happened on Brushy Creek Road around 8 o'clock. First responders say the youngster lost control of the vehicle and it rolled over several times. The driver was reportedly thrown about 60 feet. A helicopter then transported the victim to a medical center in Huntington.
The reporter exchanging emails with fugitive lawyer Eric Kahn of Floyd County says the story isn't over yet. Bill Estep is with the Lexington Herald Leader. He says there are a lot of places where Kahn could be hiding out.
He traveled extensively in South America and the Caribbean, and obviously there are places in the Caribbean. Belize doesn't have an extradition treaty with the U.S. There's 50 or 60 countries around the world that don't have extradition. Now, some of them are, you know, places like Somalia where you would never want to live.
Estep says Kahn likes attention and the ability to control the story. He thinks that's why the attorney sent him the emails. Estep says he doubts if Kahn will return to the U.S. The counselor was convicted of defrauding the federal government of hundreds of thousands of dollars in disability benefits. Kahn was awaiting sentencing when he apparently fled the country.
Officials say Kentucky's only maximum security prison has been placed on lockdown after inmates attacked eight workers there. The story from Will Clark.
State Department of Corrections spokeswoman Lisa Lamb says that 16 inmates attacked the workers Thursday afternoon near a canteen line in the yard of the Kentucky State Reformatory in Eddyville. She said the injured workers included officers, sergeants, lieutenants, and a captain, all of which were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. She said none of the inmates involved required medical attention. I'm Will Clark.
WSAZ is reporting that a former Portsmouth High School band director has been sentenced to 23 months in prison after pleading guilty to sexual battery and two counts of using a minor in nudity-oriented material. The charges against 28-year-old Matthew Swintek were in connections with his contact with high school students, one in Portsmouth and one in Ross County. Swintek also surrendered his teaching license and must register as a sex offender.
Ashland commissioners passed the city's new budget today after weeks of revision. Here is MSPR's Arlo Barnett.
The Independent reports the Ashland Commission has met 10 times in recent weeks to amend next year's budget, finally passing the spending plan one day before their deadline at the end of this fiscal year. The biggest update reduces the planned 4% raise for city employees to 2%. Other major changes include the omission of originally drafted tax increases, which removed more than $400,000 from the budget. Commissioners also decreased allotments for overtime pay and employee travel costs. They also added some expenditures. The recreational fund has been doubled to improve the Central Park playground, and local nonprofits and emergency agencies are due to get about $365,000 in contributions from the city. I'm Arlo Barnett for MSPR.
A Louisville lawmaker thinks local governments in Kentucky would be better off scrapping their occupational taxes in favor of a sales tax. Republican State Representative Ken Fleming says a sales tax would generate more revenue.
Getting rid of the occupational tax and looking at maybe a 1.5 or 2% increase in the sales tax, and I say that because when I went through and looked at the Louisville situation, the study found, and I just going through my own calculations with several economists, that there's an additional $50 million if you get rid of the occupational tax and you have a 1.5% increase in the sales tax. There's a $50 million increase in revenues.
Fleming made his comments this week at a hearing on the financial resources of local governments.
Kentucky lawmakers should make it easier for counties to merge and reduce their operating expenses. So says Owensboro Mayor Tom Watson. He says under current law, it's too hard to get 75% of the votes on a fiscal court for a consolidation agreement to be approved.
With 120 counties, and we have a population less than basically the city of Houston, I mean, the economy is a scale that could be benefited from by bringing people together. We'd love to be able to unify with one of our sister counties, and we think we'd offer something and they'd offer something, but it's very difficult.
Watson made his suggestions this week to the General Assembly's Interim Joint Committee on Local Government.
A member of the Moorhead City Council is glad the group will soon take on the difficult challenge of modernizing the town's zoning statutes. Tom Carew just hopes when the panel completes the jobs, those codes will work much better.
And when you review the zoning code, as you look at it, as I've done on a cursory basis recently, you can see that much of the language in it is outdated, and it needs to be updated. And it's something we should have been doing all along. We just didn't do it.
The city has hired a company to come in and review all of its zoning ordinances and help determine which ones need to be modernized. Council will start working with that firm at the end of this summer. Mayor Jim Tom Trent predicts the process of updating Moorhead zoning codes will be done by late summer or early fall of next year.
Ohio's Republican-controlled legislature has voted to freeze enrollment in the state's Medicaid health care insurance for the poor. This despite the fact that Republican Governor John Kasich supports expansion of the program. House Majority Leader Bill Sight says the move is necessary to get control of spiraling Medicaid costs and reclaim authority that's been ceded to the governor.
This is about restoring the dignity of the legislative branch of this government. We have ceded authority to the executive and the bureaucracy steadily, but over the 17 years I've been here. This is our chance. This is our chance. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross, all right?
The Medicaid freeze would deny coverage to hundreds of thousands of Ohioans who lack job-related health insurance and cannot afford to purchase their own.
Insurance rates for individual and small group plans in Kentucky could increase by an average of more than 13% next year. Insurance carriers have filed their requested rate increases with the Kentucky Department of Insurance. The requests cover individual and small group plans. Requests for large group plans won't be filed until later this year. Two of the largest requests were for plans sold on the Federal Health Insurance Exchange. Anthem Health Plans of Kentucky is asking for a 34.1% increase, while CareSource Kentucky is asking for a hike of nearly 21%. Anthem offers individual plans statewide. CareSource offers plans in 61 counties.
Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher says his city has lost more than $2 million from conventions because of a Kentucky law that's perceived by some to be discriminatory against the LGBT community. Fisher discussed the impact Thursday during a press conference. He says it's the result of a recent ban by California on state-funded travel to Kentucky. The Golden State took the action as the result of Kentucky's approval of Senate Bill 17, which proponents argue gives students a chance to express their political and religious viewpoints. Fisher says he was concerned about the bill at the time it was being considered and just communicated with House Speaker Jeff Hoover and Senate President Robert Stivers about California's new travel ban.
I was worried about the unintended consequences of this bill, and unfortunately we're seeing that play out. But I am heartened by their statements to me that that is not the intention of this bill. So I feel goodwill on their behalf to address this issue.
Fisher says 24 million tourists visit Louisville every year, and that has an economic impact on Kentucky of more than $14 billion.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is closing a portion of the Mountain Parkway in Clark County next week. Officials say the road will be shut down from Friday, July 7th through Monday, July 10th so that work can be done on a bridge. The deck of the structure over I-64 is to be restored and waterproofed. Westbound traffic will be diverted off the parkway at exit 10 onto KY 974. From there, traffic will be routed to State Route 15 and Kentucky 1958 to Winchester.
A homeless shelter in Lexington has gone solar. 86 solar panels have been installed on the Catholic Action Center by Strategic Ventures and Synergy Home. That's a Fayette County-based energy firm. Jenny Ramsey is director of the CAC. She says moving to renewable energy will save the shelter money in the future.
Now, in this building, when we were told this is perfect for solar, we said that's part of the call. So we're proud and pleased to be able to live out that call in one other way, and also to save a ton of money, you all.
The project cost $75,000, but Ramsey says that money will be recovered in savings from utility bills over the next 5 years.
The job of processing Kentucky's backlogged rape kits is finishing up. That's according to Attorney General Andy Beshear. Beshear says more than 5,000 unprocessed forensic examination kits were originally identified by the state, but about two-thirds of that number have been dealt with.
Those 5,000 plus should be through the outside lab within the next year and a half. But people need to understand that for each one that comes back with a hit, where we open an investigation or local law enforcement opens an investigation, those investigations are going to take some time. But people will, I believe, shortly start seeing the prosecutions, the ultimate results, and the justice that's going to come from the steps we've taken to address this rape kit backlog.
Beshear visited Moorhead yesterday to present the Gateway Children's Advocacy Center with a grant from the Child Victims Trust Fund. The organization received over $3,000 to go toward the purchase of about 40 new rape kits.
Members of the Lewis County Board of Education have approved an apparent low bid for workers' compensation. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, the bid of over $47,000 was submitted by Roding Insurance to provide workers' compensation insurance coverage for district employees during the 2017-2018 fiscal year that begins July 1st. Four other bids were submitted, and board members had tabled a decision on the matter during the regular session of the board on June 12th. Board member Cindy Applegate made a motion to accept the bid from Roding Insurance, with all members in attendance voting in favor. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
As he starts his retirement tomorrow, Dr. Wayne Andrews is looking back at his 12 years as Moorhead State University's president with a sense of satisfaction. Among other things, Andrews is proud that during his tenure at MSU, the school improved its campus infrastructure, including updating its residence halls, built its Space Science Center, and built its Recreation and Wellness Center.
We revised the core curriculum of the university, the general education core, back in, I think it was 07, 08. We went from 128-hour requirement to graduation back to 120, which was more reasonable to allow students to graduate in 4 years. We worked on salary improvements for faculty and staff, amongst all these things where we were having difficult budget challenges.
Andrew says he started each day with a simple prayer, thanking God for the blessing of a new day and asking for his help to do the best job he could for Moorhead State. Dr. Jay Morgan officially becomes the university's new president tomorrow.
And finally this afternoon, Moorhead's annual Celebration of Independence Day will be held tomorrow in the city's Central Business District. Tony Pence is with Downtown Moorhead Incorporated, and he says it's a big deal, noting attendance during last year's event was tremendous.
Last year, believe it or not, we had people estimated between 10,000 and 12,000 people, and we expect that again, if not more, this year. We've added, we've tripled the entertainment value for people to come a little earlier in the day. All that starts at 4 o'clock, by the way. The music and the food and all that begins early. So bring your kids. We've got things for them to do.
And the fireworks display is set to begin at 9:45 tomorrow evening.
Taking a check of your weather forecast, tonight partly cloudy with a 30% chance of thunderstorms, lows at 71. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely with an 80% chance of scattered thunderstorms in the morning and then throughout the afternoon, highs near 80. Tomorrow night, stray shower or thunderstorm possible, mostly cloudy skies with lows near 66. Sunday, partly cloudy with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs near 86 degrees. Sunny and warm on Monday with highs around 87. And Tuesday, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain, highs near 89. Temperatures for the region is currently 86 in Ashland, 83 in Flemingsburg, 85 in Inez, 83 in both Lexington and Winchester, and 85 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It's great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. On our feature segment, we have commentary from Morehead State University Professor John Modaff. He ponders the mysterious symbiosis of free speech and academic tenure.
You have probably heard that there is a war over free speech being fought on college and university campuses all across our fair land. That's big news as groups try to shout, censor, and beat each other over the right to self-expression. Ah, higher education. But maybe you haven't heard much about another war that is being fought nationally, the war on academic tenure. And what you never hear, or haven't heard until today, is that these two wars are twins. They are frustrated and motivated by a fundamental question about the proper way to respond to someone who seems to be spouting nonsense, or worse yet, dangerous ideas. As an aside, I feel somewhat responsible for this, because as a communication teacher, I've been joining my field in heralding the power of symbols, arguing energetically that speech is an action we ought to take seriously. I guess we never expected people to take the axiom so seriously or in such a violent and bullying fashion, and that is the point at which campus free speech and academic tenure cross paths. Academic tenure annoys people, particularly taxpayers facing hard times, because it looks and sounds and walks and quacks very much like popery and federal judgeships. One might note that popes and judges are not on most people's must-see-before-dying list. Still, the Pope does some important stuff, I suppose, and no doubt judges now and then get some work done that really matters to people. But professors? Why should they be protected? And from what? And for what? Read around and you'll see the answer. Tenure is necessary to protect the environment in which ideas can be freely shared without fear of retribution or dismissal. To ensure that the finest quality of the finest university, defenders of tenure say, is to ensure that the students experience what is excellent about education. Couldn't you just cry? But what, then, of free speech on campuses? Spreading like a virus on the land, we see an infection, schools large and small, prestigious and backwater, and the infection has to do with the free flow of ideas. Contrary to the claims of the tenure defenders, the campus warriors against expression insist that preventing unacceptable thoughts from being uttered on campus is a form of expression in itself, one that dominates the worn-out notion that ideas must be heard to flow freely. Why, even some tenured professors have joined in the war against truly free expression, wielding weapons and acid tongues, hurting people in the name of protecting people from being hurt. I wonder if their defense of tenure would include a genuine moment of heartfelt love for freedom of expression. Hell, I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. 4:49, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news from NPR is coming up on All Things Considered in just about 10 minutes. But Braxton Howard will have the latest from the sports world for us in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Morehead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud. Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. It has become somewhat of a summer tradition since John Calipari became the head coach of Kentucky, and that tradition continued yesterday. ESPN.com reported late yesterday that people close to Calipari had reached out to the NBA's New York Knicks about their vacant president of basketball operations job, saying Cal was interested in the position. Calipari has since denied the reports, tweeting late last night, quote, "I am the coach at Kentucky and will be for a long time." He also went on ESPN's Mike and Mike this morning to discuss the report.
There's no one that on my behalf to call the Knicks. And the reality of it is I'm coaching at Kentucky. Come on. You know, in my mind, I got the best job in the country. It's been a great opportunity for young people to come in and better themselves and better their lives. It's an unbelievable stage to challenge them in so many ways. And I just can't see there's anything out there that I would want to leave for.
Cal is in Egypt coaching the USA under-19 team that starts FIBA World Cup play tomorrow. Calipari recently signed a contract extension with UK that runs through the 2024 season. New Morehead State basketball coach Preston Spradlin believes it's been so far so good since he took charge of the program. Spradlin admits he's been pleased with the progress that's been made since he took the job back in the early spring.
We've hit our short-term goals. You know, once I got the job, I was able to put the staff together. I'm really pleased with that, and those guys are doing a terrific job. We were able to bring the kids in that we really wanted, and we have had great success once we got them here to our campus and our town and introducing them to everyone and building our roster with that.
Spradlin has added 10 new players since he took the job. They'll be on campus starting next week, taking classes and working out. A couple of other notes from college basketball. Texas has released a statement saying five-star freshman big man Mohamed Bamba's eligibility has been reviewed by the NCAA and that he's been cleared. Bamba's brother this week said on a Facebook Live video that the seven-footer accepted gifts, including $200 a week from an associate, and he planned on meeting with the NCAA in the coming days. UCLA has signed a deal with Under Armour for 15 years worth $280 million, plus a $15 million signing bonus. It is the largest deal in the history of college sports. And LSU picked up a commitment from 2018 five-star point guard Javonte Smart. Smart is ranked as the 11th best player in the class by Rivals.com. The Baton Rouge native picked LSU over Florida State, Kansas, Kentucky, and UCLA. NBA free agency begins tonight at midnight. Some notes from that. 2015 Finals MVP Andre Iguodala does not plan on meeting with the Golden State Warriors to discuss a contract extension. Clippers free agent big man Blake Griffin plans on meeting with the Phoenix Suns tomorrow for his first meeting in the free agency period. And Utah Jazz star swingman Gordon Hayward notified the team yesterday that he is declining his nearly $17 million player option for the 2017-18 season to become an unrestricted free agent. Hayward plans on meeting with the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat this weekend, according to ESPN. The Cincinnati Reds open up a weekend series at Great American Ballpark against the Chicago Cubs at 7:10 this evening. They'll be hoping to bounce back after the 11-3 beating they suffered last night at the hands of Milwaukee. The lone bright spot in the game for Cincy came from the two solo home runs hit by Joey Votto. In addition to hitting .308 this season, Votto now has 23 home runs on the year. Manager Brian Price admits he's never seen the first baseman on such a long ball tear.
Certain about this time last year that he was on base at a ridiculous pace and his batting average went, you know, from maybe the low 200s, 220, up to well over 300, and then all the damage started to come. And so I've had the good fortune of seeing him really, really good. However, I have not seen this type of power display and the consistency of barrel on ball for power, you know, since I've been here.
The pitching matchup for tonight features 6-5 Scott Feldman going for the Reds against the Cubs lefty Mike Montgomery. The former reliever has a 1-4 record. The Braves have designated 44-year-old pitcher Bartolo Colon for assignment. The right-hander was 2-8 with an 8.14 ERA in 13 starts this season for Atlanta. This is an important time of year for his players, so says Morehead State baseball coach Mike McGuire. He's glad that most of them are playing summer ball, giving them a chance to work on their games and their bodies.
Almost everybody's out playing, and you know, that's the only way to get better as a hitter. Just continue to see live pitching, and you know, we got guys. Hopefully, they're getting after it in the weight room because that's equally as important this summer.
McGuire adds that it's especially important that MSU's pitchers throw some innings this summer to help them improve their command going into fall practice. Finally, in sports, college baseball's home run derby is tomorrow at 9:00 at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha. Morehead State sophomore outfielder Nico Hosizer, who finished second in the nation with 27 home runs this year, is one of those hoping to take home the championship trophy. Hosizer plans to adjust his approach at the plate to give him a better chance of doing that.
Yeah, you got to tweak your swing just a little bit and looking for pitches up, you know, that you can elevate and get underneath. But I'm taking my hitting coach actually out there from Morehead to be the guy who's throwing to me, and I've never had anyone that throws me BP any better, so I'm really happy he could make it out there with me.
MSU assistant coach Adam Brown will be throwing to Hosizer during the college baseball home run derby. It will air on ESPN2. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State Soccer will host a high school team camp July 10th through 13th and an elite college ID camp on Sunday, July 16th. Camps are designed to help develop soccer players in all aspects of the game. More information at 783-2589 or online at msueagles.com.
455, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The stock report, ordinarily heard at this time during Mountain Edition, unfortunately is not available this afternoon, but we'll be back to recap the weather forecast in just a moment.
Support for MSPR provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, presenting Fazoli's Freedom Fest on Saturday, July 1st. Music on two stages by The Wooks, Jericho Woods, Bang Bang, and A Midlife Crisis. Gospel showcase featuring Calvary's Song, Focus, Grace Note, The Sun's Family, and The Well. Gravity Falls Motorsports Cruise Inn on Main Street, Kids Activities, and a Thunder Over Triplet Fireworks Show at 9:45 p.m. Activities begin at 4 o'clock p.m., Saturday, July 1st. More information on Facebook under Morehead Freedom Fest.
Of your weather forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of thunderstorms, lows near 71. Tomorrow, thunderstorms likely in the morning, 80% chance of scattered thunderstorms throughout the afternoon as well, highs near 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies becoming partly cloudy later in the evening. A stray shower or thunderstorm possible, lows will be around 66 degrees. Sunday, partly cloudy skies, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, highs near 86. Sunday night, mainly clear, lows at 65. Monday, sunny and warm with highs near 87. Monday night, partially cloudy with a few chances for rain showers, lows at 67. Tuesday, partly cloudy in the morning, followed by a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs at 89. Temperatures for the region, 86 in Ashland, 83 in Flemingsburg, 85 in Inez, 83 in Lex and Winchester, and 85 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that does it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark, and our commentary this afternoon came from Morehead State University professor John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Davidson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.